You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Oh, yes. Hello. Hello. Good day. Good life to you, everybody out there right now, man. Hey, January 6th finally happened. And no, we don't mean the insurrection or its anniversary. No, we're talking about one of the biggest show debuts in professional wrestling history. Okay, it's up there. It's up there with the first day of Monday Night Raw ever. It's up there with the first WrestleMania. It's up there with a lot of things. And we about to talk about it. Hey, and who else to talk to you about it like nobody else in the world than us? Who is us? We. Who are we? The first Black Champ podcast. And I am definitely the MFM pick. Cam from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download it to the Barbershed Network, home of the first Black Champ. Make sure you follow us on everything, Twitter, Instagram, on what, Threads.
For sure.
All that shit, the FBC, POD. Go ahead and get that merch. You see Camp got the sunshine on with the belt because we celebrate Black champions. And we definitely going to talk about that nigga who do that shit with shirts a little bit later on. Since we are on the Barbershed Network, a little bit of breaking news to announce, because if we don't announce it, Scott going to come up here and start asking questions about why we ain't announcing breaking news. Mike Vrabel is your former head coach at the Tennessee Titans. Expected to be hired as the next New England Patriots coach. Jared Mayo got fired right after the game. Like, they didn't waste no time. It's like the game is over. The time it took them to get downstairs is the time it took them to fire that man, that black man. But Mike Vrabel, former New England Patriot linebacker, won a title with the team. I think I read something on Twitter that says that he is the seventh individual to become the head coach for a franchise that he helped win a Super Bowl with, joining the dude that he replaced, Gerard Mayo, Bart Starr, Forrest Gregg. Both of them are former Green Bay Packers legends. Art Shale, formerly of the Oakland LA Raiders, Jeff Saturday, and Jason Garrett. For Bears fans, that's a domino that falls because he was one of the people that we interviewed for their head coaching position for the Bears. So now we have one opening closed, and now the Bears continue on their search for their next head coach. They've interviewed Mike Vrabel, the people's favorite, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, both of the Detroit Lions. They're going to be interviewing Cliff Kingsbury next week. Ron Rivera is going to get an in-person interview because of the Rooney Rule, as our fearless leader Scott let me know yesterday. So a number of people. But in Tennessee, y'all ain't got no coach or no GM.
Yeah, for sure. Real quick before we get to Tennessee, because this is all news to me. I'm in the process of year five. So, but because I seen this on the just the timeline Pete Carroll, what are your thoughts? Pete Carroll in Chicago.
I like Pete Carroll. If we don't get Ben Johnson, I don't mind him. Like somebody who's helped build the program, a Super Bowl champion, future NFL Hall of Famer from the coaching position. Like, I don't mind him. I want Ben Johnson, but if we don't get Ben Johnson, because reportedly, allegedly, Tom Brady is out there on the prowl. He is recruiting him like he recruited Giselle when he saw her on the runway. I wouldn't mind it if it's him, if we don't get Ben Johnson. He's not the first choice, but he is a choice nonetheless. So I ain't mad at that.
I dig it. So yeah, man. Hey, look, Tennessee. So look, one thing I've learned, just being amongst the Tennessee Titans fans, like the real fans, nothing like the real fans in the city. Pro tip for anybody that may be a casual fan or just not really savvy. You want to know about the football team, you got to talk to the people that's wearing the gear of the team, even when it ain't the season going on. And that's who I'd be trying to talk to. You know what I'm saying? The people that saw the Music City Miracle and was like, yeah. And like, they love Steve McNair, even the white rednecks, they love Steve McNair. You got to talk to them. Okay, and Eddie George always. And you know what is the two things that I've learned from Tennessee fans? One, they were like, oh, I don't know about firing Mike. That don't seem like the best idea. And two was, can't we just get Derrick Henry more help? Like, why we gotta let him go? And now you see why, right? Because you got to be there when you catch all the games, especially the ones that are not televised, you do see them running Derrick Henry ragged. And that's why he was only playing like 9 or 10 games, maybe towards the end of the season, because he was the only offensive option. But enough about that. What stings for the Tennessee Titans fans that I've spoken to is the fact that coach and GM, there was press conference. Like, they really went all out, and dude was talking about how he's about to change the culture here, and he's like so hard-nosed, and we're gonna be a good football team that wins games, blah blah blah. You know, he really sold like how it was gonna be such a great new regime. And then old Levi's, because until he started winning, we ain't gotta say his name right. So old Levi's is playing worse with the new coach, he was with the old coach. And they were like, yo, this is some bull. like flat out, they was like, this is some bull. Now it's throw everybody away. This is the one time I've just seen on the timelines where everybody's unanimous, like, hey, yo, this ain't it. Granted, hey, look, we wouldn't go make it to the Super Bowl 2-3 years ago, but we wouldn't this bad either, though. So there is no, I haven't seen the names for whether it's player or personnel, like culture wise. I haven't seen any names being thrown out there in the comments that people want to see, but it is going to be interesting. Shout out to my cousin G McGee. He want Cam to come. He want Cam to get drafted and be and play for the Titans. So I'm
Cam Ward.
Yeah. Not Cam Newton and not me, but Cam Ward. you want Cam Ward. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I am no good. Not with this left knee. No, sir. he's looking at that. My guy called Don Coleone. He want Travis Hunter to be here. So we'll see. I like to immerse myself with the real Titans fans, because it's just a cool thing for me to do. I am not the biggest football fan, and now that I'm 40, I ain't got to pretend. So that's awesome for me. But I love seeing the people that are. I will say this, man, even though Tennessee may not be the greatest team, I will say you will not find too many actual fan bases that love their team the way they love this team. I know people criticize Bear fans, and I do think Bear fans are I think Chicago sports fans are just the best fans of anything on the planet. I will say that. I will say, man, Tennessee is going to be, whenever they get that Super Bowl, whenever it happens, you are going to see one of the most grateful and loving fan bases that you've ever seen when that time comes. Like, they really want it. They really thought Steve and Eddie was going to get it done. Like, they're still talked about. Steve McNair is talking about, like, he's still alive down here, to be clear. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's not just a black thing either. Like, the people of Tennessee really love their Titans. So, honestly, even just off the strength of that, I want them to have a really great team, especially with that new stadium that's being built, which I just watched a YouTube video on it. It really made it sink in, like, oh, wow, they're about to really reshape downtown, and now I want to move down there. but even with that, you know, they don't want the biggest thing is for WrestleMania to be here in the Royal Rumble and SummerSlam, because they are coming to Nashville. So you know the vibes, especially by then. So, I hope the Titans do what the fan base need and want it to do, you know, because I want to see these folks out here happy, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Hey, let's go ahead and get to it, because I see a couple of comments enjoy. Hey, man, fuck Hulk Hogan and everybody who love him. I love this comment that D.O. just put up there. Soft still crying, racism from Hogan.
It's not a cry.
It's
a fact.
I'm not even about to talk about racism here. I'm not even about to talk about racism here. Because there's black people that like Hulk Hogan still. People that like Hulk Hogan still. Why do people care about who like who?
Exactly.
Like, that's the soft shit here. Like, I saw so many people on CNN. I saw so many people on CNN have this conversation about Hulk Hogan and how people don't like Hulk Hogan because he was voting for Trump and he was pushing for Trump. Here's why that's stupid as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, here's why that's stupid as hell. Mm-hmm. The Undertaker had Hulk Hogan on his podcast, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
He said he was openly voting for Hulk Hogan, right? For Trump. Trump, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Undertaker said he was openly voting for Trump. He said he was the man and all of that, right? Why we didn't boo the Undertaker?
Yeah.
Why didn't nobody boo the Undertaker?
Because, well, to answer your question directly, especially for Dio, because the Undertaker has proven not to be a piss poor human being in general in life, in the grand scheme of life. See, what we're not going to do here, especially on the First Black Champ podcast, we're not about to sit here and be totally blind. Like, the only thing that Hulk Hogan ever did in his life was say the N-word, and now everybody's mad. Like, that ain't even it. Like, where have you been? Like, white people don't fuck with Hulk Hogan. It ain't a race thing. And like, there are white people that are hated by black people that don't fuck with Hulk Hogan. Like, this ain't got shit to do with racism.
Right.
Like, you need to Google more and read and listen. Jim Cornette is actively shitting on Hogan every chance he gets, calling him one of the biggest liars in the fucking world. Along with Conrad, along with what's my man?
Nobody likes Hulk Hogan, but people who still live in 1987 and saw him power slam Andre the Giant. Hulk Hogan, forget racism.
Yeah.
I've never been. Let me just say this for those who know this podcast. I have never been a Hulk Hogan fan. I wasn't a fan of Hulk Hogan, and when I was a child, I wasn't a fan of Hulk Hogan when he was in the NWO. I live in the Bobby the Brain Heenan world of fuck Hulk Hogan. If you listen to this podcast, I have historically said that Hulk Hogan has been a heel his whole career. This ain't about racism, because I ain't like Hulk Hogan before I heard the tape. This is not about racism. Hulk Hogan just proved over years that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
To his own people. Like, it's right. His own people.
See, and that's the thing that's so funny. It's like, don't this many black and brown people in the world watch enough wrestling for the firestorm of Like,
because we wasn't in that arena. Yeah. We wasn't the majority in that arena. The majority in that arena was white men.
Yeah.
18 to 34.
Like, that's it. Like, so for y'all to think that there was 15,000 black and brown people booing Hulk Hogan, like, you're misguided. Like we never 10%. We never 50% of the audience. Right. Not even Atlanta. Like,
we acknowledge that on this show. How, like, when you look at the crowd, you see a couple of us.
Right. Like, yo, it's a reason why you can see O'Shea Jackson Jr. very clearly right in the crowd. Because he's one of the right few the black people in the first four or five rows. Yes. Like, so it ain't just us. And it's bigger than just racism. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying?
No, D.O., no. Hold on. It is not. Because why didn't we boo the Undertaker? I'm going to tell you the difference between the Undertaker. Fuck all that shit, Cap. I'm going to tell you the difference between the Undertaker. I'm going to tell you the difference between him and Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan is not cool anymore.
Yeah, he's not. He's literally just not.
Like, honestly, Hulk Hogan, at least I can, for somebody who's never been a Hulk Hogan fan, I can at least admit that was a time where Hulk Hogan had motherfuckers praying, training, and vitamins.
Me.
You were one of them.
Facts.
But what we have to acknowledge here is that Hulk Hogan became a caricature of himself at a certain point in his life and became a lame.
Yeah.
So again, let me finish.
Okay. I'm going to pinpoint that time too, but go ahead. Do your thing.
But I'm going to ISO real quick. Is there people who love Hulk Hogan? Yes, I just acknowledged it. There's a lot of people who love Hulk Hogan. And is there people who hate Hulk Hogan because of his support of Trump? Yes. But I guarantee you this. It is not because of that, because if that was the case, they would have booed The Undertaker and every other wrestler that supports Trump. Logan Paul, they don't hate Logan Paul because he's a Trump supporter. They just hate Logan Paul because of YouTube. Yeah. And there are other wrestlers that support Trump. When are we going to admit that one of the lamest things about wrestling, when you look in hindsight, is saying your prayers, taking your vitamins, and all of that shit? Yeah. Hulk Hogan literally became a character of himself and been lying about shit he ain't got to lie about. Like, Hulk Hogan is the epitome of lying to kick it where he ain't got to.
Yeah. And to answer your question directly, the moment that he became lame is literally when he banged out homeboy wife on camera and then was like, well, nah, that was Hulk Hogan. That wasn't Terry. Or that was Terry and it wasn't Hulk Hogan. Like, bro, you're the same person, bro. What is you talking about? What you talking about? Like, and hey, look, on the Trump thing, last regime, right? I think that was culpable. Here in 2024 into 2025, hey, look, Hogan threatened to body slam Kamala Harris and that clip didn't go viral. So it ain't got nothing to do with Trump at all. We need to stop that. That ain't Hulk Hogan, unfortunately, over time. After WrestleMania 18, he's been on a fast track to hell as far as popularity is concerned. and revealing that his life is just the ultimate shit show of him literally trying to hang on to the 80s fame and not adjusting. And not adjusting and not being cool. Because, hey, look, for all things considered, we should think Ric Flair is kind of lame. We don't. But at reality is, he's a 70-plus-year-old man who damn near died, who's not on his, like, fifth divorce and is dancing in the club with young bitches. He probably can't even get
and
it inserted.
And we still love him.
Yes. And I know, and we love Ric Flair.
Hey. I love Triple H. Yo, know who Triple H voted for.
Right. Teddy Long said on a podcast that Ric Flair called him a nigga.
And I still love
Ric Flair. I have not wavered on Ric Flair one bit.
I've not wavered.
We need to stop this. sometimes you're just a fucking goof.
Like, at the end of the day, it's about how we're not gonna comment.
I like
We're not gonna comment after this last thing with DL. We're just gonna let him. He's gonna let him rock.
Highlight the audience change, not Hogan, because that's literally the point, my brother. That's the point. And the thing about this is, cool is universal. It don't really matter who you are or who the people are. Cool is cool, no matter who it is received by. Like, that is the thing. Steve Austin, the character Stone Cold Steve Austin, will always be deemed as cool. We are now, 24 years removed from the inception of the Attitude Era. Steve Austin still looks fucking cool. We can, again, John Cena, even in this era, even after being called a big box of Fruity Pebbles, even after everything The Rock did to make him not look as cool, a lot of people still feel that John Cena is cool. The problem is, one of the biggest problems for Hulk Hogan, I believe, is that when you manufacture such a marketing giant that is supposed to be so squeaky clean and so inspirational and so just appealing.
I do got an answer for this one right here. Right. If you listen to this podcast, you know I love this part.
Right. Facts. So, so this is awesome. Yeah, he's right on time. Unfortunately, as a human being, bro, you got to like, look, let's take it off wrestling. Yes, even if you want to herald the image and likeness that is Hulk Hogan up to a high regard, Terry Bollea has proven for over a decade and a half now that he ain't shit. And that ain't got nothing to do with us. Right. Like, that ain't got nothing to do with us.
I'm a fuck Hulk Hogan and everybody who like him guy. Because I've never liked Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I've never liked Hulk Hogan. I was a macho man. If we want to talk marks, I was a macho man, Mark.
Yeah.
I was the kid who cheered on the main event, number two, when Hulk Hogan got his ass beat by Macho Man. So none of what this is going on this chat really don't pertain to me, because I hated this man ever since I saw him. Like, who the fuck is this lame ass dude? All right. With that being said, if you are upset that somebody don't like another dude, you don't get ass.
Yeah.
You don't get ass. Yeah. Like, if you look and you're like, why are you booing Hulk Hogan? That is the lamest shit out of all of this. And that's why this is not even a troll attempt. This is real life. If I decide to boo Hulk Hogan and you decide to cheer him, that's okay.
Yeah.
But don't put racism or Trump or none of that. When the top people in the WWE that we see on TV every day, this is about me, fam. This is my podcast. Now, that's when you shut the fuck up. All right. Now, when you look at Paul Levesque, he was at the Trump party.
Yeah.
We ain't booed Triple H for that shit. We didn't boo The Undertaker. We didn't do none of them. At the end of the day, people look at Hulk Hogan for what he is. At this point in his life, in his career, he is a clown living off shit in 1987. People see that. People know that. And it wasn't just younger people.
Yeah.
We are looking at people who grew up with Hogan and saying, yo, you didn't grow, you didn't change with the times.
Yeah.
You went back to that lame shit and you living off of that. Mm-hmm. Hulk Hogan is just like the Dallas Cowboys. Hulk Hogan is, you talking about the Miami Hurricanes? He's like the Miami Hurricanes.
Hey, wow, Hulk going crazy. Hogan, shout out to you.
It's like a lot of shit that was popular in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and they just didn't grow with the times. I live in Chicago. Hulk Hogan is like the Chicago Bears. You was the shit then, but right now, you're still... Hear me out, Camp, because okay. This is something we've been talking about.
Because Bears love. I mean, okay. Right.
Hear me out. You're living off of tradition and shit that happened in the 80s, but you ain't did shit. You ain't won shit. You ain't been successful at shit. Okay. Hulk Hogan took his ass to TNA. That first night, it was the best ratings they ever had. That product turned to shit ever since. Mm. You got all of this. Now, if you do want to bring in the racism shit, that's cool. You have all of that shit that happened with him, Gawker, all of that shit. And that crowd knows it. You think Hulk Hogan, if you want to use this shit, well, he was in the blue state. California's a blue state, yada, yada, yada. You think that motherfucker ain't going to get booed in Texas?
Right.
People don't like Hogan, and he's always been like that. His son, when he tried to force his daughter on us with the singing career, that happened with his son, like, this is besides the wrestling, this is besides the racism shit. But the reality show, Hogan Knows Best, fam, this is Hogan's fault. And when people can realize that this is all on Hogan, people ain't like Hogan before the Trump shit. He's always been a Trump supporter. It's not new. Like, his support for Trump is not new. He's been on Twitter. He was on Twitter pumping for dude before we even got to this election. His support for Trump ain't new. It's Hulk Hogan is slowly become a caricature of himself. He's always had the heat. Now, if you want to say that the Trump shit was cherry on top or the election, you could say that it was the cherry on top. It wasn't the final nail. It was just the headstone. But Hogan has not been cool for quite some time.
Yeah. Here's my thing on the Trump piece, just real quick, because wrestling fans.
Now, wait a minute, before you say that. Real American Hero, like, Real American Theme Song is a bop.
Yeah, that's fire.
Fuck Hogan, but that is still like top 10 theme song for me.
Yeah.
I sing that randomly. That's the only reason why I've ever liked, like, if I ever liked Hulk Hogan, that's the only reason why I like that. Like, that song right there, that's it.
Yeah, shout out to Rick Derringer. he got the slap. Cena should come out to that at WrestleMania. I don't care. they should change it to Chad Gable's music. I'm fine. Like, it don't matter to me.
Yeah, it don't matter.
But see, we, like, and this is one of those rare worlds where, like, we are in a parallel universe being a WWE, right? The WWE universe, as we talk about Hulk Hogan, right? Because on one hand, you know, the relationship of Trump with the McMahons and just the WWF at the time is streaming all the way back to the 80s. Who was one of the biggest stars at Trump Plaza ever? Hulk Hogan. So there is, like, it can't be new heat, because if you look at some of Hogan's greatest moments that were also some of his greatest wrestling moments, they took place at a Trump venue. So that ain't that. I think now, if you want to conflate the fact that, oh, new people that maybe haven't watched wrestling since 97 have now seen Hogan at the RNC talking about how he's going to body slam Kamala. Okay, that's maybe 2% of people, if anything. That ain't got nothing to do with how the other legends, staples, and just legacy acts in the world of professional wrestling as a whole feel about them. It's the old wrestlers. It's the new wrestlers. It's today's superstars. It's the greatest managers ever. It's everybody in the pro wrestling community that collectively don't fuck with Hulk Hogan. And this is coming from somebody that's not a fucking Hogan hater. Like, I'm not a hater.
Man, the only people that like Hogan is Jimmy Hart and the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, and he sent Jimmy Hart clean off. And Brian Knobs is his cousin. Like, yo, but yeah, I felt bad for Jimmy Hart seeing that because Hogan knew what he was doing. See, this is the other shit. Hogan knew what he was doing. He let that music hit. He let all that, the graphics go up. Jimmy Hart coming out here waving the flag like he reminiscing the Dino Bravo days. And he waving that flag, and then Hogan trots himself out there like a wounded horse and then got him and his man booed out the damn building. That's what's crazy. That's the Jimmy, nasty work.
Hey, Jimmy Hart was like, this ain't got shit to do with me.
Yeah.
This ain't got shit to do with me, huh? Huh? Hey. This ain't got shit to do with me. Like, there's probably, let's do this real quick. And you know what? Dio, I'll ask you this question too. Dio, I'll allow you to, in the chat, give us your top five piece of shit people in wrestling that has nothing to do with murder. Because those are easy.
Hogan got everybody paid in the 80s and 90s.
Hey, everybody paid. Right. Come on. I just want, without murder, yeah, everybody who's listening to the show, without murder, name us our top five piece of shit wrestlers. Because the murder shit is easy. You put a couple people up in that.
You dissing Moi, take everybody, the ratchet.
You know how you know who got everybody paid? People for the Dallas Cowboys. People still hate the Dallas Cowboys. I could get Hulk. I could have been a wrestler in 1988 and be like, right, fuck Hulk Hogan. And yeah, still say, hey, but I'm getting paid. No, fuck him though. He's still a piece of shit. Yeah. Like, money and liking a motherfucker are not exclusive.
Yeah.
If that was the case, excuse me. If liking a motherfucker and money was exclusive with each other, then there wouldn't be no divorce in Hollywood.
Yeah.
T-Dale, Brock Lesnar. See, Brock Lesnar has been said is a piece of shit.
Right, yeah. And hey, and he embraces it and then just goes to MMA.
See, that's what I love about Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar owns the piece of shit role. Yeah. Man, I don't fuck with y'all. Yeah. I ain't fuck it.
You to find him.
Yeah, like, you're not going to whoop my ass, though. See, that's what I love about Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Hey, I'm a piece of shit. You're not gonna be my ass, though. You want to fight?
Yeah.
You really want to do that? That's Brock Lesnar. Like, Ric Flair, we could put Ric Flair in there. Ric Flair is a piece of shit. He's just one of those pieces of shits that I fuck with.
Yeah, high charisma. Yeah. Charisma slider on 99.
See, that's what I'm saying. Jerry Lawler's a piece of shit. Yeah, freak man.
Hey, everything that we can't say, everything that wrestlers can't say in wrestling today is because of Jerry Lawler's commentary in the Attitude Era. All the way from puppies to bra nannies to flaming other F word, like all of it.
This is why I love this podcast. This is why I love this podcast. Hey, look, at the end of the day, you ain't got to agree with us. You ain't got to agree with us. But at the end of the day,
Ricky Morton, present day, is in NWA getting his son clean over with Southern Six and Thrill Billy.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, hey, again, hey, and let's stop this narrative. Ain't no new Trump heat. If they were to poll, if they did an anonymous poll of every arena in the world of who they voted for, if they could vote, I guarantee you that joint is gonna flame up red because it ain't like that 70. Many blue. There ain't that many blue state, blue collar people voting for Collins.
Over 70 million people voted for that man.
Yeah.
It wasn't just every Kamala fan, a Democrat fan in the Intuit. Don't. Yeah. No. There's a unity with a lot of people at this point right now. Mm-hmm. They don't fuck with Hogan.
Yeah.
It's not about Hogan being a Trump supporter because we like The Undertaker. You know what? Let's do this real quick. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's do something real about The Undertaker. So let's get off of Hulk Hogan.
For sure. Pause.
What has The Undertaker done to make us dislike him?
Hey. I can't think of it. I can't think of the thing.
He's a Trump supporter. Yeah. He openly wears sometimes like paraphernalia that people would be like, yo, I don't know about that motherfucker. Yeah.
Hey, Undertaker was showing up to meet and greets and to protect the thin blue line.
Yeah.
Hey, I think he was in the Blue Lives Matter.
Sorry, yeah.
The meet and greet.
Yeah.
Hey, The Undertaker wild. But hey, look.
But you know what I love about The Undertaker? BSK. A unique group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't tell me that Mark, that there you go, Donnie. You can't tell me that The Undertaker ain't 12. You can't tell me The Undertaker ain't 12.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
And could Undertaker not? I don't think so. Let me just say this now. I don't think Undertaker's racist. But could it be a situation where The Undertaker only liked the black people he know?
Oh, yeah, what? For sure. For sure.
The Undertaker could possibly like the black people he know. Yeah. That's the Godfather, Ron Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you want to add people of color in there, Yokozuna. Could very well. Like, only the people.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Teddy Long. Can't forget Teddy Long.
Yeah. So he could probably like three black people. Mm-hmm. Teddy Long. But Teddy Long, Ron Simmons, the Godfather. Mm-hmm. And the Godfather's like his best friend.
Yeah. And that again, hey, look. Teddy Long will be quick to tell you every white person in wrestling that has used the N-word to him or around him. And he's never said it about The Undertaker.
But you know who's universally loved? The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like, The Undertaker. Damian Priest, who's Puerto Rican, The Undertaker popped up behind him. He was like, oh, shit, The Undertaker gave me advice. You know who The Undertaker loved and is like, why the WWE ain't doing more with him? Omos.
Yeah.
The Undertaker is a Trump supporter. He's not a piece of shit.
Yes, right. Because not every person that supports Trump is a piece of shit. They're right. Not. And they're right. And everybody's not racist. They're not. We gotta stop narratives like that.
When you tell The Undertaker that Omos is trash,
yeah, right, yeah. Hey, talk to Mark.
Talk to Mark. I'll give you another one. You know who I thought was a piece of shit, but turned out to not be a piece of shit? JBL. His character made you think he was a full piece of shit.
JBL is who Trump is playing in real life right now.
Right. It turns out that JBL is a good human being.
Yeah.
He had some locker room situations where he picked on people, but for the most part, they're like, yo, JBL was just a bully. Well, you know, he cool. Like, he cool. You know who could have been classified as a piece of shit? Stone Cold Steve Austin. He beat on his wife.
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them. Left the company, was like, yo, I'm out this bitch.
Yeah.
We love Stone Cold. I said that Stone Cold should do his beer. Like, here's the thing. Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold can do a beer tasting. Let's bring in the racism shit. Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold can both bring their beer to the hood. Say, taste my beer. Stone Cold, whatever the shit's called, and real American beer. I believe there would be black people in both of those lines. But only one person ain't gonna get threatened.
You know you was wilding with that stuff about your daughter, though, you know?
Right, you know you was wilding. Another piece of shit. Another piece of shit that I could think of that we talked about. Ric Flair. We could say Ric Flair's a piece of shit. You said, got five wives. He openly was like, why the fuck am I here? Off times. Like, he's like, why the fuck am I here? I'm out.
Yeah, hey, the doc, Ric Flair, like, when he just decided, like, hey, yo, I ain't gonna do this no more, and got up and left his family in Charlotte and just went to wrestle full time and not check in. That is crazy.
Yeah. But Hulk Hogan But Hulk Hogan has proven himself. Hey, look, hey, any way to get a subscribe?
No.
Like Teddy Long has said, Ric Flair's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You can't. Ric Flair has a song with Offset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's, you like motherfuckers should be ashamed of buying that man a drink. Yeah. How much he drink.
Hey, and most importantly, again, hey, look, see the white delegation on this.
Yeah.
Because even when that audio leaked and all of that, Hogan was still getting cheered. Because that's the second time, well, the third or fourth time he came back as Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster. So after that run is when shit start going left. But it's been his white counterparts that have been coming out about this. And this is years before Trump was going to run for president the first time.
And also fellow Trump supporters.
Yeah, yeah. So again, look, y'all taking down one of y'all heroes. We just watching the fire, bro. We just watching the accident. Oh, damn, that's crazy. They doing do like that?
Hey, that is the perfect analogy.
Yeah. Hey, what? Look, we never did this to Michael Jackson. So, hey, and he looked Asian before he died. We never did this to Michael Jackson. So I don't know y'all beef. Y'all fix that. We ain't got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, Dio, we're going to end this segment by saying, you might be right. You might be right. But I'll tell you this. As a black man, I love to see the white-on-white violence that's going on
right
now. I love this.
CNBC.
I want to see. I want to see the alignment here. I want to see. Yeah. Oh, I hate Hulk Hogan. You hate Hulk Hogan? What the fuck? Do you know what Hulk Hogan did for us? He made us train, say our prayers, take our vitamins. Hulk Hogan is immortal, brother.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? This man is the reason why you're here in this arena. Y'all fight.
Yeah, facts. Hey, listen. Hey, I still watch old PLEs, bro. Don't get it confused. I don't fast forward the Hulk Hogan matches. Fuck out of here. Like, man. I paid for the whole subscription. Yeah. I'm watching the whole shit.
Yeah, I'm not about to do this when Hulk Hogan come up. No, I'm gonna laugh. Yeah. I'm gonna watch Hulk Hogan and laugh at people boo him because I come from the Bobby Heenan school of wrestling. Fuck Hulk Hogan and everybody who like him.
Yeah. Hey, look,
but
so,
if you want to say, but you goddamn right, Dio. Why you think I like it?
Hey,
hey.
So recognize who's coming the majority
the
of people watching that.
Coming
who are the
year,
majority watching that?
Yeah,
who
coming
is the
year,
51% or more?
Hey, for everybody who is a consistent watcher of First Black Champ, this is yes.
Yeah, hey, shout out to Christopher. Because right, hey, Iron Sheik Ben started this. Iron Sheik has hated Hulk Hogan since 1984. So, yeah. Like, bro.
January.
Like, we can't be acting like everybody fucking loves Hulk Hogan, and now we've just decided no because you cast your ballot differently.
Hey, man, you lucky I ain't broke
out of
your
here.
Leg.
That's
lucky,
not what happened.
Man, you lucky. You, hey, oh, okay.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh. Camp.
Hey, Hulk Hogan. Because it's fuck Johnny Wrestling till the casket drop. I don't even know who he is. I don't even know who he is outside.
But no, my only issue with the Hulk Hogan thing, literally my only issue with the Hulk Hogan thing is we got to stop policing what people like and don't like.
Yeah, for sure.
Like and this is full gamut. If we want to take this to the full gamut, we should take this full gamut. I know friends of mine who are Trump supporters. I do. Mm-hmm. I know people who are Harris supporters. I know people who are Democrats. I know people who are Republicans. I know people of all walks of life. I don't police who they like. However, if it's something that I strongly disagree with, I just won't fuck with them.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, I ain't like damn near my whole life. And yes, Wrestle War is my wet dream. I'm a War Games stan too. Welcome to the club, Dio. Hit that subscribe button. And make sure you follow the Barbershed Network to hear all of our episodes along with all of the other ones, including Ruthless Aggression, another wrestling podcast.
For sure.
But we got to stop policing people who don't like people like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan has, if you want to separate the two, that's fine. Terry Bollea's a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. You just don't see Terry Bollea when he put on the red and yellow. You see Hulk Hogan. And the minute Hulk Hogan say, what you gonna do, brother? Motherfuckers don't fuck with him. And you know who don't mind it? Me. You also know why I don't mind it too? Because as a wrestling fan, I know that if you are a true wrestling fan, you know this is going to be marketed in a way that's probably going to be beneficial to Hulk Hogan and you, the fan. Mm-hmm. So the next time Hulk Hogan pops up on the screen, he's going to be like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make people boo him. And guess what, Hulk Hogan, and to put a bow on this, to make y'all more know how much we love this sport of wrestling and how wrestling art can imitate life. Kemp, who's the biggest heel in wrestling so far, right now, this year? Who says the biggest heel in wrestling?
Biggest heel in wrestling.
When you listen to the reaction, who's the biggest heel in wrestling?
Oh, Dominic Mysterio.
Hulk Hogan has potential to become the biggest heel in wrestling again. Because if he got booed like that, when Hulk Hogan says, screw you, guess what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And guess what's going to happen? People going to buy his beer. And guess what's going to happen? Since the WWE owns a part of Real American Beer, they're going to get more money off of that beer. Next thing you know, you're going to see Hulk Hogan in the black and white of the NWO colors, or maybe you're going to see Hulk Hollywood Hogan again. And just like G. Russ said, I was more of a fan of Hollywood Hogan.
Mm-hmm. And
yes, I do. I'm telling you, I do. Like, look, I could tell you right now, I loved it when Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes used to make each other bleed. I loved it when I love it. But also I love it. Why? Because what's the demo? White men, 18 to 34. We always gonna see it. White men has been a part of my childhood. So in women, like, you would never make me boo Medusa. I know who Medusa voted for.
Yeah.
I know who Medusa voted for, and I would touch Medusa's soul right now.
Hey, and Donnie, you're right, and it's not low key either. Donnie's absolutely right. It's not low key. And speaking of that, it's so funny how that plays into
comparison. Yeah, we can transition into Raw on Netflix now too.
Mm-hmm. Because Hollywood Rock was birthed because they were booing The Rock, and he embraced that twice now. Yeah. Hey, and low and not so low key, The Rock is doing, Dwayne Johnson is doing a lot of things that Terry Bollea would be doing to his other half.
And but remember, Contel, The Rock is COINTELPRO.
I'm
the person who said Hulk Hogan was a heel his whole entire career. I'm also the person who called The Rock COINTELPRO. Now let's move on to Netflix on Raw. Raw's Netflix. CM Punk defeated Seth Rollins. Roman Reigns defeated Solo Sikoa. Rhea Ripley defeated Liv Morgan. Jey Uso defeated Drew McIntyre. Yeah, I don't think anything of that is a surprise, correct?
Well, not surprising. No, I didn't make all those same picks, but I'm not surprised though.
Yeah, we didn't make those same picks, but it's not a surprise. I think the biggest surprise is The Rock. Mm-hmm. We had if you listen to this podcast, if you've been listening to this podcast for quite, like, at least for the past year, I've been saying for at least in a year and a half that the High Chief character of The Rock should be coming out soon. Mm-hmm. That is the only end to this Rock Roman Reigns thing. Then the day before Netflix, on Raw, on January 5th, you saw the High Chief Salui video, and it was a lot of, yes, that's true. And there was a lot of things that was, it's just me, Jesse, Body Ventura, and Bobby the Brain Heenan. We've all been on the same wavelength. We were expecting a lot of things to happen when it comes to Rock and Roman Reigns. But what we end up seeing is a promo with The Rock saluting Cody Rhodes, nonetheless, basically being a face again. And then after the match with Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns, he puts the Ula Fala mm-hmm. on Roman, and he shakes his hand. They get they do the predator arm thing, the arm shake. They went like swole niggas. I don't know what's wrong with swole niggas. Like they gotta shake their hand like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers.
Yeah, man.
But Rock Dwayne Edor, he puts the lay on him, and that's it. Like that's it.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Raw on Netflix, WrestleMania adjacent, night one? How do you feel about that night?
Overall, I think the production was great, right? The production of it, I think it lived up to... Artie, what up? You're right. Hey, I think from a production standpoint, I think it was incredible. I like the simplistic nature of it, but I liked how big budget box office it looked at the same time, yeah. If that makes sense. And I think they didn't miss the mark on obviously the buildup and the actual aesthetics of the show. The show itself, I have my own opinions about it. But to the point on Rock and Roman, I think we watched the story being told without a story being detailed out in front of us. To me, even though, it was solo stipulation that if he won the match, then he wanted Paul Heyman to put the Ulafala on his neck. I think The Rock coming out there in peace, like I'm really the boss out here, final boss, if you will. And then with the ending of the match and the ending of the segment being more about The Rock, for lack of better phrasing, knighting Roman Reigns as the tribal chief. Like, he's no longer self-proclaimed, you know? And I think that's the story being told. I think The Rock established that he is the high chief. And the fact that I am the high chief, hey, look, I know we've been talking about this Ulafala stuff the whole like year or whatever, or until last year. And I know that, you know, you called yourself the tribal chief and yeah, your pops and your uncle, and we see all that, but hey, look, but now I'm the OG though. So now when I say it, this is really what it is. Now can't nobody take it from you because I've placed it on you. Pause if necessary. But that's the story that I'm reading into with that, and it does have me curious about what is going to happen next, because I was expecting vengeance, I was expecting rage, I was expecting a lot of people to get their ass beat the next time we saw The Rock. That ain't happened. So now it's got me looking at that segment a lot differently.
I was bored. Outside of the pomp and circumstances, look, me and Dio ain't agreed with a lot today. We agree here. Mm-hmm. The production was great. Sure. Like, this felt big. This, as a wrestling fan, as somebody who's been watching wrestling since 1986, mm-hmm. as a four-year-old to now, this felt like a huge moment for the sport. And when they opened it, with The Rock, when they opened it with The Rock, I knew. I was like, yeah, this shit ain't about to go the way that I think a lot of people think is about to go. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm starting to hear Rock talk, and he mentioned Roman, when he name dropped Roman and stuff, I was like, we definitely not about to get what we thought. Now, some of the interference you can expect, the match felt like a WrestleMania match.
For sure.
Like, let me say this. I felt like this match was WrestleMania quality. But the ending is what I was not expecting, only because of the way that the bloodline thing has been pushed. We're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show, because we've been talking about how Solo has not felt like what he has been pushed to be. But somebody in the bloodline has definitely felt like that
We gonna see what happens with that. Sure. I got some questions. But that match and the way that it ended in, it did not end the way that I expected it. And that's cool. But it felt empty because The Rock does not need to anoint Roman Reigns for anything. He didn't. Like The Rock, when they was in Philadelphia after the Royal Rumble, yes. But Roman Reigns is the greatest in this generation. He didn't need The Rock to anoint him for shit. So I would have loved for that particular storyline to keep going. And you know, never know. Some shit might happen. But for it to go to Roman Reigns getting the Ula, and then on Friday say he's entering the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Hindsight, right? Here, scenario. What if they're telling two stories, a family business and wrestling business? Because remember, hey, look, we're the podcast that's adamant about, I don't want to see no tribal chief title. Like, this can't be no belt. Hey, you just win. So for me, the way this story has always been pitched is like, yeah, we in the world of wrestling and we won the world of wrestling, but this is the fam though. Like, what we got supersedes everything. Now, granted, Roman Reigns is doing all this as the champion, but he's also did a very good job of separating the aspect of, yeah, I'm the champ, but me being the champ is how the whole family eat. So with that, I totally understand what you're saying, especially with the Philadelphia callback, because that does make perfect sense. But you know, unfortunately, in real life, we've watched the Roman's uncle and his father pass. And we've watched Roman Reigns say, hey, look, hey, COVID here? Well, I'm not. Me and all my sets of twins and my wife, we're going to do our thing. And then he comes back randomly at a SummerSlam, becomes the champ, starts this run. I think Even as Rock was even promoting last year about blurring the lines, I think they're doing a really good job of blurring the line of their family business versus the wrestling business. And that's why it does make sense to me that he would do this, because the other thing that we don't want to see is The Rock. Well, I'll put it this way. The one thing I don't want to see is The Rock turning into Mr. McMahon and then already saying, hey, Roman Reigns got a bye to night one or night two of WrestleMania because he's the tribal chief and I've made it so. So I don't care what champ he won to face. I don't care who won the Royal Rumble. I'm giving Roman the bye. We'll see him in April. I don't want to see that either. So
yeah, no.
So I do like the aspect of now that it's solidified amongst the family, I am the tribal chief, and that's just what it is. Now, let me go back and get what all started this and why you, the wrestling fan, care about it now. I do like that story.
Yeah, but the part that's missing to me is the investment of what's next for those. There's nothing to get me invested back into this bloodline storyline. Forget anything else. It felt like to me that the bloodline storyline is done. Roman Reigns is the original tribal chief. He's the only tribal chief. And then after that, it is what it is. This is done. Now, if you're telling me that we are about to move on from the bloodline storyline, that's great. Like, the storyline is like perfect example. Either you move on, this is my thought. Either you move on from the bloodline storyline or you reset the bloodline like you did after Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold.
I dig it.
One of the two. Either kill, and you didn't kill it on Friday. So either you kill this shit or you reset it. This leads me to SmackDown. To fast forward a bit, Jacob Fatu on SmackDown on Friday, that shit was the Jacob Fatu show.
Oh, for sure.
Like, if it was any time, would I watch SmackDown and Jacob Fatu on there? I've always been like, yeah,
Jacob Fatu. Hell yeah. I've been singing the praises of Jacob Fatu since he was chubbier and in MLW.
No facts.
But the way that it felt to me on Friday that there was a clear chance to reset. Because Jacob Fatu owned that night. Mm-hmm. He owned it when they came in to attack Jay. And he whooped JS, and the stare down mm-hmm. between Jacob Fatu and Cody Rhodes, in my opinion, was way better than anything that's Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't pay attention to that, go back to SmackDown on Friday. And when Jacob Fatu, after he's clotheslined out the ring, the look between Jacob Fatu and Cody Rhodes, to me, Cody in particular, looking at Jacob and the way Jacob looked like a god in that moment to me.
Yeah.
He looked like a god of a god to me and somebody that needs to go. It's time.
And here's the harsh reality, because you're right. That means that the bloodline is over. Bro, well, you can't have a faction and you can't build a faction where the guy that's supposed to be the enforcer is the superstar. So I do get what everybody's saying. Maybe Solo should have won, but how? When Jacob Fatu is standing there, how do you reset the bloodline and tell Roman Reigns, okay, now you got to now make Jacob play number two to you and we want to see him face you? Unfortunately, the bloodline story is over. It's now a one-man show again. It's the one-man show that existed when it was just Roman and Heyman, and Jay didn't want to jump down. Because that is the layers and the details. That is getting everybody over. Because, hey, look, not for nothing, do you really want to see Jey Uso revert back to being the right-hand man of Roman Reigns when he can do what he's doing every Monday night? It makes no sense. What we are not used to, or maybe what we don't recognize, is the fact that some factions, they break up and nobody get over and people get future endeavored. But we have never, well, I'll speak for me, I don't think I've ever seen a storyline and a faction get so many people so far over that they don't need each other even for the callback.
So,
like, even X-Pac needed the callback.
So here's why I disagree with you a little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit. The bloodline has the potential of being like the New England Patriots. So for somebody to be like, yo, what the hell are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about, right? Bill Belichick becomes... Like, Bill Belichick is the head coach. Mm-hmm. When coaches leave Bill Belichick, they never succeed. There's not been one coach that was with Bill Belichick that, like, outside of, like, I think Bill O'Brien, mm-hmm. that really succeeded. Nobody won a Super Bowl. So maybe Bill O'Brien, maybe Jey Uso is Bill O'Brien here. Now, I did say one of my predictions of 2025 is that Jey Uso will win the world championship.
Right.
That remains to be seen, though.
Mm-hmm. True.
But that is one of my predictions, right? But until then, man, they just got Jey Uso as the really popular dude that they ain't doing what they could be doing with.
That's true.
Could Jacob Fatu be that guy? From the looks of it, he's already that guy. So now when Solo gets back, we'll see if it's, I love you, Solo, still. But until then, to me, it feels like they killed the bloodline storyline on Raw on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And what you might be seeing is an offshoot. This is not Triple H coming out and telling Shawn Michaels, you dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H could have very well took a page out of his book. This is not Jacob Fatu saying, yo, Solo, you dropped the ball.
and then I'm going to bring in two other people, or it's just going to be me and Tama for right now. We'll see what happens. Because low key, that's what it felt like on Friday. It just wasn't verbalized. But we know going into Royal Rumble is going to be Cody versus Kevin. And again, after I saw the stare down between those two, I ain't give a fuck about Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. In fact, Kevin, you should have won it at Saturday night's main event. Shit's not going to happen. But now, going into the Royal Rumble, because I know there's a lot of conversation with that, question I ask you is it Jacob Fatu or the field when it comes to eliminating the most people?
Smart money is obviously on Jacob Fatu, right? However, I think it is going along with the story we're trying to tell, because hasn't Roman Reigns gotten that record from Kane? And now he's going to be in the Royal Rumble? So, with all due respect to Jacob Fatu, because obviously I think the field, being us, the universe here, we're saying that he is ready. But I think most importantly, here's another situation where Roman Reigns steps into the Royal Rumble as a marked man, this time just without the title, like the actual world title. But I think it's really on him to counteract a few things. Because now, even with what you're saying, you can't tell me the last three people for sure in the Royal Rumble won't be Roman, Jacob, and Cena.
Yeah, that's my final three.
That's the final three for sure. So with that, I think you kind of get a dead heat. What if they all eliminate eight people? Like 8, 16, 24, and you know, I'm sure LA Knight's gonna get somebody out of there. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of one of those things where, yeah, they're putting the writing on the wall for us, and it literally becomes a situation of, well, who makes sense for us more right now? And so I don't really have the feel per se. I got Jacob, Cena, and Roman being at a dead heat, because that is that, and with Gunther not being in it, that just seems to be the expectation for me.
I do think Jacob Fatu is going to eliminate the most people in this Royal Rumble. Like when Jacob Fatu gets in, business is going to pick up. Jim Ross voice. And I do believe that those three are going to be the final three. Maybe even add in Punk as the fourth. Like,
CM Punk.
Because here's the thing, and I'll bring back up what I said on last week's show. I wouldn't give Cena the Royal Rumble win. He gotta earn it.
I do not have Cena winning the Royal Rumble, but I do have him in the final four.
Yeah, for somebody who has not won a match in how many days that he has said, like he can't win the Royal Rumble and get back on track. Like, no. If Cena's gonna be full time, they say he's supposed to be full time. Yep. If Cena's gonna be full time, Cena needs to lose the Royal Rumble and he needs to earn his way into a title match. I also believe I'm still sticking to my Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk main event for one of those titles. Like Gunther's probably, I don't think Gunther's gonna have the belt for Royal Rumble because, you know, after they already said Cody versus Cena seems like the likely matchup. Like he has to earn that. I don't think he should win with Cena winning the Royal Rumble. Like he needs to, yes, he'd be that. Yes. He needs to win that, earn his way into the Elimination Chamber, and know that this is his last chance to win the Elimination Chamber.
I got you.
Between Roman, CM Punk, one of them got to win the Rumble.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to be Roman, which is probably going to be Roman, and you think that he, like somehow, some way, the title's going to drop. And maybe CM Punk goes into Rumble as the world heavyweight champion. Maybe he goes in, like maybe Seth or maybe CM Punk or maybe Roman Reigns. Like mm-hmm. maybe Roman Reigns, because I'll tell you right now, I'll spend good money to see Roman Reigns versus Gunther. I'll spend good money. And we know Gunther's not going to come out on top of that shit, Paul. Mm. But I'll spend good money with Roman Reigns versus Gunther at like Elimination Chamber or whatever pay-per-view that's between that.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman Reigns gets the belt and CM Punk says, hey, that favor, if he wins, hey, that favor, there it is. Like, he owe him. So yeah. I think it's more likely that we get Cena versus Cody Rhodes, if that's what everybody is saying. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people have moved on from that.
Yeah.
And it's Roman Reigns versus CM Punk as the other main event. I, however, believe that the true main event of Mania is Seth, Roman, and CM Punk. You see how CM Punk looked after he lost that match? Like, you saw how he looked? Like, mm-hmm. I lost to this bum-ass nigga? Like,
yes, that was
like,
hot.
We talking about looks. Seth Rollins was looking like, man, I lost to this bum-ass nigga? And CM Punk like, motherfucker. Seth looked extraordinarily pissed.
Yeah.
But he don't like none of them niggas. Like, he don't like right. Roman. And to yeah. see him with that that interview the other day, just say like, yo, these people wouldn't be who they are without me. That's the main event. The yeah. person, if we want to be technical here, none of this shit is going on without Seth Rollins hitting Roman Reigns with the chair.
That's a fact.
If we literally, all the way down to it. If we want to talk about long-term storytelling, this goes back to what you saw in person in mm-hmm. Indianapolis.
Yeah, this Survivor Series 2012.
This goes back to even the Shield debut. This is long-term storytelling at its finest. I believe that a triple threat between those three, instead of Seth Rollins not being involved in the WrestleMania main event at all, mm-hmm. is something that should happen and adds more intrigue because none of them like each other. This yeah. nigga Roman Reigns was like, they was like, yo, what about Seth? And he looked like, fuck. Like, fuck, I barely like him.
Right.
Fuck, hey, you mean?
You definitely sold me on the first triple threat match since the first time I saw one. I don't yeah, like triple threat matches.
I'm cool with triple threat matches. I'm not necessarily cool with triple threat matches and big joints like this.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have three people who legit don't like each other as wrestlers,
yeah,
like that their characters hate each other and the connection of these wrestlers. And even you said last year, you felt like it was better to have Seth and Roman in the main event.
For sure. I still stand on that. They have not missed when you do that. Seth versus Roman, straight up, they do not miss.
When you get the fact that Seth Rollins won his first title the way that he did over Roman, like their connection to me is too connected. It's too tight.
Mm-hmm.
The way that everything going, it is too tight. You have to look at the long-term storytelling, mm-hmm. especially even if you look at the whole War Games thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I ain't even want to fuck with dude. And we going up against a dude he hate. I don't want to see, even though his shit's fucked up, and he said, yo, I ain't going to be back at WrestleMania, so fuck all of that. But I would not want to hear or see Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed if Bronson Reed was healthy.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even want to see that.
Yeah, nah.
I need to see those three. If CM Punk is owed the favor, let me just say this. If CM Punk is owed the favor, he don't win the Royal Rumble. he got to get in some type of way. Mm-hmm. He got to get in legally. He got to get, maybe there's some chicanery that goes on to where CM Punk is out and he like, nah, Paul, fix that shit. Maybe Seth is the winner of the Royal Rumble.
Seth won the Royal Rumble. I think we're due for a couple different things. I think we're due for a Royal Rumble winner that we can't just call, even though Seth would be a good call. But I also think that we are overdue, well overdue, for an Elimination Chamber title change. I do think that above all else. And
yes, Dio, we've been saying that for a while. Dio, we didn't agree. We didn't agree on a lot of shit today. But the fact that you brought up Vader, we fuck with you for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Hey, welcome.
This is a Vader stan podcast, by the way.
For sure. But I'm while everybody is paying attention to the Royal Rumble, I'm paying attention to the Elimination Chamber only because this is the first year in quite a while where they can't just wild card us with like two picks. Yeah. Like four or five guys right now as we sit can win either title and it be totally justified, whether it's performance, whether it's heat, whether it's just good booking for WrestleMania. So that's how I feel. I'm like, yo, the champ got to be, matter of fact, the champ shouldn't even be in it till the end for me and this Elimination Chamber. So we know we get a new champ out the gate. Yeah. I'm here for that as we go to the road to WrestleMania for sure.
And as we go through this Raw Netflix, this SmackDown thing and all of that, like it's good. One, we need a kind of like a reset to get to what it is. If this was WrestleMania adjacent, then we do need to get a reset. But yes, the one thing I do love about this Royal Rumble, it was clear that it was going to be Cody last year. I do like the fact that it is not necessarily clear who's going to win the Royal Rumble. We just know what's going to, if you look at the tea leaves, Cody versus Cena, it's probably what they've penciled in. It's just interesting if Cody goes in as Homelander Cody and get on his heel shit.
Russ, if they do that, I'm never watching fucking wrestling again in my life.
Yeah, I would.
I'm burning everything. I'm going to be like LeBron fans in 2010. Bro.
This podcast will become a throwback video podcast if that shit happens.
Yeah.
I would be, well... Yeah. Let me pause that. Only if somebody beats the shit out of Goldberg, like, to win it back. Like, if Goldberg holds that bitch for more than 2 weeks, then, yeah.
If you hold it more than 2 minutes, hey, there needs to be a random briefcase pop out. Like, yeah, oh, wait, whoa, I forgot he never cashed in 2008. Yeah. Like, Baron Corbin
needs to come out and, like, don't like, see the detail. Yeah. If Goldberg ever hold the title, nigga, I will.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Fuck Paul. I will call the TKO offices. I will go straight to the top. God damn, what's fucking wrong with y'all?
Hey, back to our first segment. Goldberg was like, I don't even really fuck with wrestling like that. And he don't get booed like Hulk Hogan. So I mean, come on, dog. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Russ. Hey, you just don't want me to watch wrestling ever. Fuck me, right?
Yeah, hey. But yeah, we gotta figure this out. Like, we gotta figure this out because, like, there's certain things that I can see that's happening. Like Shannon, just said it right there. Like, you probably end up getting Randy versus KO, at WrestleMania. They did talk about maybe Randy Orton versus Cody. So there's that too. Randy Orton comes back. Like, what if surprisingly they do something with Jacob Fatu? Like, maybe surprisingly they do something like that. But I think this is the first Royal Rumble in quite some time that we will go into the Royal Rumble and really question who's going to win it. Like, really be like, yo, I think this person's going to win. But normally what I do on this podcast, for those who's been listening for quite some time, I do my as it stands today, my Royal Rumble pick, and until we get to the Royal Rumble, I'll either keep it or change it. So, as of today, we recording this podcast on January 12th. As of January 12th, 2025, my winner of the Royal Rumble is Roman Reigns. Like right now, I feel like it's going to be Roman, but I don't think he's going to pick Cody because I think there's going to be some chicanery happen. That might change next week, but right now, as of today, I am picking Roman Reigns to win the Royal Rumble, but we will see what happens today. All right, man, we've talked about a lot of stuff today. A couple of joints before we move on and enjoy our Sunday and rest of the week. When we going to find out who attacked Jade Cargill?
Probably when she's ready to wrestle. No, I'm tripping. I'm sorry. No disrespect. No disrespect. I'm sorry. But hey, you know what though? I think being real, and I haven't been keeping up with her like her health status. I think we found out at the Royal Rumble. I think for me, and this is my low key guarantee for this week. I think that as women are declaring for the Royal Rumble, and there's going to be a space where maybe 3-4 women are already in the ring, and all of a sudden, a storm is coming after that countdown. And rather than posing, Jade makes a beeline to the ring and starts laying into some girl. She started beating her ass. And I'm like, dang, like, what's up? I didn't even know it was beef like that. And then we don't find out until SmackDown's like, yo, no, that's the bitch who did, like who tried to take me out. You dig what I'm saying? And so I think that's how we find out, because right now everything it's wild, like how wrestling works, right? Jade, obviously one of the biggest stars with some of the biggest moments, one of the biggest moments of 2024. And yet we've kind of moved forward with storylines, title changes, and everything, and we haven't mentioned her. I think the best way to, one, add some spice to the Women's Royal Rumble, outside of, like, you know, your classic, like, Michelle McCool entry at 17 or whatever, I think this is the best way to get, like, storyline developed for her, to have her telling a real story, which can build up enough excitement, suspense, or whatever have you, to WrestleMania for her, or at least to a prime spot at an Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I don't even think it's worthy of a guarantee anymore. It's clear to me that Bianca Belair did it. Once last night happened, I was like, yeah, it's Bianca Belair. Because if it was Naomi, she ain't benefit from the shit because she ain't won nothing. Bailey's going to lose the Tiffy next week. It has to be somebody that has not had a chance to go up against somebody, in my opinion. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think your low-key guarantee is high-key going to happen. Jade Cargill is going to enter the Royal Rumble, and she's going to tell you about who she beat up, who is the person who whooped her ass. And that who is going to be the person. I think what's going to happen is, first of all, in the Women's Royal Rumble, I don't want to piss y'all off, y'all, but I don't want to piss camp off too. But right now, as of January 12th, my pick to win the Women's Royal Rumble is Charlotte Flair.
Oh, nigga, you lying. I'm good. I'm cool. I ain't heard shit you said. All right, for sure. For sure. It's all good. It's cool. You know?
So yeah, I think right now it might change. It might be fucking, you know, Alexa Bliss. It might be the hell, but right now, my pick as of January 12th to win the Royal Rumble, Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte Flair picks Tiffany Stratton for that. But what I believe is gonna happen, to add to your low-key guarantee, is Jade and Bianca are going to eliminate each other.
Yeah.
And that,
I definitely see that. It's gonna be the Piper and Jake? No, Jake and Rude or whatever that was. Like, it's gonna be one of those kind of moments.
Macho Man.
There you go.
Macho Man and Jake. Whatever. But he was like, "Man, fuck! I don't give a fuck about this Royal Rumble. I'm whooping your ass." But that is what I believe is gonna happen. I know Camp don't like that. But that's we're gonna find out who did it. And Naomi would have had to win, or at least win it and lose it to Tiffany, in order for me to be like, "Yo, it was her who did it." Bailey is going to lose to, Tiffy on Friday. Nia's already lost the belt. Yeah, I think it's clear that Naomi, Bailey, and Nia ain't the one. It's Bianca, unless it's somebody else that's gonna debut. Like, unless somebody's gonna say it was Roxanne Perez. Like, get the fuck out of here!
Like, why? Oh,
like, why was it Jordynne Grace? Like, why? Like, she did it right before a TNA episode. Like, what the fuck? It's Bianca. And like our man, and like our man Dio said, and I said it here on the pod. See, Brando, Hogan Warrior. That's what that looks like. What else? That's it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? One thing I want to say real quick. Because I do agree with y'all on the actual show itself being very lackluster. That Raw on Netflix, that is. What I want to do, what I want to see is just a wrestling fan. I want to stop hearing new names for hardcore matches. Tribal Combat was a hardcore match. All right? Like, just call it what it is. If we're not going to do anything that is special in detail, literally everything that happens in a hardcore match happened, or a no disqualification, no count out, there must be a winner. It's the same shit. Tribal Combat just looked like your classic TLC kendo stick trash can run in finish. Like, come on. Like, if we're going to we might as well reactivate the hardcore title, because that is literally the only thing that it was. And that, for me, if we're going to call it Netflix Mania, if we're going to say that the first Raw on Netflix is going to be of epic proportion and we're going to have all these different things, then you got to give me more specialty for your specialty match, even if it's not for a title. You know, they put more effort into botched weddings on Raw in the 90s than they did into this Tribal Combat match both times, because the one that Jay and Roman did, that was just a regular, another hardcore match or another Hell in a Cell match, whatever it was just that. Like, if you're going to sell us, the audience, if you're going to sell us on how great this is, and this was always my worry. If y'all remember back in December, I'm like, yo, they ain't got to call it WrestleMania level. We ain't got to do all that. Hey, yo, give me In Your House. In Your House used to go up. I would have been cool with Netflix on Raw being like the first five In Your Houses. I was here for that. Like, when you oversell it with the WrestleMania level and you give us a hardcore match to kick off the show and then just a good old-fashioned grudge match to end it, it's like, like, dog, I'm grown. You ain't got to do all that to me.
And
you
for me,
you ain't got to do all that to me.
For me, I've told y'all, Tribal Combat at least need to have a tribal elder in that motherfucker. Like, maybe it's Rikishi and two other folks. Like, maybe the ring is not there. Maybe we have some fire around that bitch or something.
Yeah, hey, they could have turned into like a lumberjack match with all Samoans, and that would have been cool.
Yeah, like, fam, like, they just need, it needs to be a tribe that's there. Like, what was the shit that goddamn the little ugly tall nigga had? What's my man's name? The ugly tall dude.
A great colleague?
Yeah, there we go.
Ugliest wrestler of all time.
when he had his little bamboo shit, like it was bamboo. Like
the Punjabi prison match.
Yeah, the Punjabi. It was the worst looking shit ever, but like at least we.
Exactly. I was like, yo, I can't even see what's happening here, but hey, at least it's something I never seen before.
Yeah, never seen before. Like, I agree with you. When are we going to see again the match we ain't never seen before?
Right.
Don't mask a no disqualification, no count out match with all that shit. Like, don't do like WCW used to do with us in the 80s and early 90s. Like, here's a Chicago street fight. Here's a New York street fight.
Yep. Same 2x4.
Yeah, same.
Same chairs.
Like, but again, we are the same podcast. We are the same podcast that said what we said, which was, hey man, if y'all watch WCW in the early 80s or early to late 80s, like, hey man, look, if you're gonna do these hardcore matches, have motherfuckers come down to the ring with the wife beater, the blue jeans with the cowboy boots and tape fist.
Yeah, for sure. Do something, like, do something different.
Like, at least WCW, the one thing I say about WCW in the early 80s, in the 80s period, if it was a hardcore match, motherfuckers didn't come out there with their wrestling gear.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers came down with some Wranglers, some cowboy boots, a wife beater that signified the city that they was wrestling in, you know, and some tape fists.
Absolutely.
They bled after the first punch.
Yeah, that lets you know what I'm saying.
Dusty Rhodes did this. Oh my god.
And hey, next Jim Ross going crazy on the commentary too, though. Oh my god,
he's
busting them wide open.
It just did this shit. And no, Chicago niggas wasn't wrestling in cowboy boots.
Yeah,
the Road Warriors was.
Hey, they were they came fresh from Gold's Gym.
Yeah, they wrestled in
the Bengal Tiger pants and Asics. That's where Animal used to come out.
Motherfuckers at WCW was wrestling in
Fanny Rouge. Pack on, you did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it was wrestling in ruse. They came down the ring.
I just did 25 reps.
they came down there with ruse on, with goddamn some Zubas, the wife beater, the long wife beater where you would see the ribs.
Yeah. With the Hawk had the crop top, the crop top sweater, like him, like he came fresh from the Swole version of Flash Dance, like he was going crazy in the cut off sweat, shirt.
Like,
crew,
like if we gonna have these specific matches, if it's going to be basically a street fight, come as you are.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, don't come in your wrestling draws. Like, don't come like Chris Jericho about to wrestle Edge at WrestleMania. No, you gotta come with stonewashed jeans. Since everybody wearing mics now to wrestle, you gotta come with some stonewashed jeans, some mics, a t-shirt, and tape fist. Shouts out to WCW that gave us tape fist. Tank tops with the thin strap, and you can see ribs, stonewashed jeans, and cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And as soon as Dusty Rhodes punched Tully Blanchard like this, just went back and that motherfucker Tully Blanchard fell, and he started doing this, and then he started bleeding. Like, shouts out to them for that. There you go. Yeah. I need jeans tucked in. Yeah. There you go, Artie. I need the jeans tucked in the boots.
You know what I'm saying? So you can see the detail in the cowboy boots. You got to do
it. I need the wife beater tucked in the jeans. I need the belt buckle that eventually in the match is going to be taken off and made somebody bleed. And I need my jeans tucked in my gray and white cowboy boots.
Man, hey, I'm about to fire up 2K after this. I'm about to fire up 2K after this. Oh, my life.
You just gonna make you a creator wrestler.
Yep, you know what I'm saying? The Buckhouse Brad. Goddamn. Like, I'm doing something crazy.
Hey, to Dio's point, we just gonna make white wrestlers that dress up as like, but have any of y'all watched the Buckhouse Street Fight? Like, have anybody watched the Buckhouse Brawl on Peacock? Yeah. To know, right. for to, so y'all to understand, don't just watch the street fight which is like the Road Warriors versus the Skyscrapers at like Starcade 89. No, go to the Bunkhouse Brawl. Like, if we want to, I said what we got to start doing is just like recommending a pay-per-view on like Peacock or the network. Mm-hmm. I recommend the Bunkhouse Brawl pay-per-view, and I think it's 1988. You will never see a, like, all you see is white dudes look like they in a bar fight.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun. Hey,
listen. And to see that, you may have more appreciation for the APA when they were just out kicking it and getting into fights every night.
Yeah.
Like, it's a derivative of what they were doing in WCW at that time. I definitely recommend watching it.
Go watch Bunkhouse, the Bunkhouse Brawl pay-per-view. Watch Dusty Rhodes win them all. It just made you think that Dusty Rhodes was like the greatest street fighter of all time. But just watch all of them just like whoop each other's asses with belt buckles, chairs, bottles. And shouts out the Coal Miner's Glove matches too. I don't know if a Coal Miner's Glove actually hurt.
Hey, listen. Real quick. Because I ain't gonna lie to you. If I had the internet when I was a child, I absolutely would have Googled Coal Miner's Glove. I went looking for one. And every time my mom wanted to go on the Farm and Fleet, for some reason, I just felt that Farm and Fleet had Coal Miner's Gloves in there. And I would go to the section. I'm like, no, this don't look like this didn't look like what Dusty and Barry was looking for. I was looking for the Coal Miner because, hey, look, the Coal Miner's Glove was like the power glove, though. Like, for the Nintendo fans out there, I was like, yo, if I had this on my hand, I could kill somebody with the Coal Miner's Glove because, man, they sold that as that's the one thing you never wanted to be hit with. And I'm like, oh, yo, I'm going to put this on. I'm going to punch somebody in the back and break it. Like, yeah, I might break your whole face if I hit you and you, with this.
And you know what's funny about this? You know, to use ChatGTP, Coal Miner's Glove matches are a unique and intense type wrestling match where a Coal Miner's Glove, often loaded or reinforced, is placed on a pole or in a designated area, and the first wrestler to retrieve it and can use it as a weapon. Here's some memorable Coal Miner's Glove matches in wrestling history. Number one, Jake the Snake Roberts versus Sting at Halloween Havoc 1992. This perhaps is the most famous Coal Miner's Glove match. It took part in the WCW, and it was part of the Spin the Wheel, Make a Deal stipulation. Mm-hmm. The match ended when Sting retrieved the glove and used it to secure victory. Bob Orton versus Rowdy Roddy Piper had some highlighted Coal Miner's Glove matches. And the king of them bitches, Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard. Boy, yes, the one thing I say about Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard, they tried to kill them each other on matches. Like, they tried to kill each other.
I know the most popular feud is Dusty versus Flair. Dusty versus Tully was going up, though. They was on a different type of time. For sure.
Look, if we want to talk about underrated feuds, if Dusty was around, I would have to ask him if he really liked Tully Blanchard. Mm. Like, if they were really cool in real life.
It was like, yo, what's that whole, looking like that?
Man, that whole thing with them and Baby Doll and all that shit. Didn't Dusty Rhodes like grab like some scissors? Or no, that was Magnum TA. And it was like a stick or whatever. Like he had like a stick. Yeah. But they like each other. Like Tully Blanchard was in all the dangerous matches. Like Ric Flair wrestled for the title. Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson wrestled for the tag team match. And Tully Blanchard was like, yo, I'm fighting in a scaffold match tonight.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh, damn, for real? like you won't last.
You okay? Like, y'all that mad at each other? Like, y'all gonna help me during this match, right? Nah, I got my title match going on. Yeah, we gotta fight for the title too. You have fun with your TV belt.
You got it right.
Hey, go wrestle for your TV title. You got it. Yeah, for but sure. Nah. It wasn't underrated down south. No,
yeah, that's
but
true. We Midwest kids though, bro. I totally get you.
Yeah, we totally get you. But nah, hey, my guarantee is that Cody Rhodes or John Cena will defend their title this year against Jacob Fatu. And it's more than likely John Cena versus Jacob Fatu. John Cena is going to see the ghost of Umaga when he wrestled Jacob Fatu. That if you like those matches between John Cena and Umaga, well, shit.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna stick with my guarantee of, well, you know, Jade beelining in the Royal Rumble to whoever attacked her. But real quick on John Cena, this is bonus information. I really hope that this run for John Cena, even though I know it's really not his job, especially at this point, you know, because he's on his Cal Ripken right now. But I would love for, even if Cena doesn't win a title, I hope that whoever he ends up feuding with or wrestles, they get put in a better position and they are better for it. I don't personally think it is Cena's fault at all, but I think, well, it's obvious the Austin Theory WrestleMania thing was a fail. Even though he was victim of a drive-by of Samoan spikes, I don't really think the solo at Saudi Mania really helped, you know? So I'm just hoping that if they give Cena a good 8 to 10, 12-week window with a young upstart talent or with a more established talent, that at least it's a defining moment for them and they're able to capitalize off of it when he's long gone. I do want that for somebody. I imagine it's difficult because of John Cena and now his retirement run, John Cena, but I do think that Cena has a great ability to get people over. It's been a while since he's done it, but I'm really hoping that happens on this run as well. As him just like winning titles.
Yeah, well, we gonna see. But thank you all for a very entertaining episode of First Black Champ. It is still fuck Hulk Hogan and everybody who loves him. But the whole thing about wrestling is boo who you hate, cheer who you love, support who you support. So be looking for more on that. And again, if you're looking for a pay-per-view to watch and you want to see some good white-on-white violence, go check out Bunkhouse Stampede in WCW and watch wife beaters with stonewashed jeans tucked in the boots, belt buckles, bottles, and Dusty Rhodes being victorious. Shouts out to Virgil Runnels. End us off, Cam.
Oh, man. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all. Thank you, Christopher Torres, for being a new sub, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody, whether this is your first time or just the last time or your consistent time being a part of this show, the First Black Champ podcast. It is, man. We thank you. We thank you and we appreciate you, all of you, whether it's the live stream like today or in the group with your likes, comments, shares, questions, scenarios, rumor, innuendo, all of it greatly appreciated. Even if we agree, even if we disagree, hey, look, your contribution to the community is greatly appreciated and it's welcome. So please never stop doing it. All right. We sincerely appreciate that. And you should always know if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way that you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. It's the Pick, VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.